Good morning, Om Shanti. So today is an update on climate change, and we have Brother Golu here. Brother Golu took Gyan in 1994, and he's originally from 84, sorry. Did I say 94? Okay, sorry, 84. Yeah, 94, it was the Gyan Sarovar that was created, and he became a Gyan Sarovar Nivasi. So original, he's from Frankfurt, Germany, and he built solar house. That is the dome up here in Gyan Sarovar, which you must have seen. And that is when the and the dome in Gyan Sarovar, in 1994, that it was created, right? Living here since from the beginning of Gyan Sarovar creation. And he created, he started India Care Trust for the hospital in 1990. And he's now the president of that trust. And he's a Madhuban Nivasi, Gyan Sarovar Nivasi. He's initiated solar department and now is the advisor on the solar to BKs and also initiated India One. So if you would have just gone above the terrace of the kitchen, you must have seen a solar cooker just recently, 3-4 months ago, got inaugurated. So he was overseeing that. He's been with the BK environment from the beginning and has been to all UN climate change conferences since 2009. And he has traveled 75 countries and delivered lectures on solar environment, lifestyle change, spiritual development, etc. Personally, my experience with him is that I have been with him since 1991. I met him in America. He came and lived with us for a few days. So he's a very friendly, very easy to deal with. Sometimes we have little arguments. But other than that, he's a very friendly, very easy to approachable. He's a very forgiving person. And his great inspiration that I've taken personally from him is that every single day in Pandabhavan, in History Hall, he sits right in front. He even conducts meditation and very straight right in front he sits. So very inspirational yogi. So over to you, Brother Golu. Om Shanti.
Thank you. Thank you. Om Shanti. As we are so many, why those at the rear, you here in the third floor, why you don't come a little bit front? You can see a little bit better.
Also to say that we have online audience as well. Yeah. So everybody's watching you online as well.
Good.
Along with this audience.
Yeah, so thanks very much and welcome to our little presentation and talk. I'll talk today a bit on give you an update on climate conference, what happened, and share a little bit of latest science, also the outcome from the last climate conference, and then I talk a bit what we are doing in the Environment Initiative and also what we are doing practically in the area of solar energy, what are the latest projects, what are the update, what's the outlook. And then I share a bit what this all means for us BKs, how we should position ourselves and how we should deal with these signs and signals we're getting from nature and from the environment. So let us start first and give you a bit of an update. And you see these three curves. So on the left side, that is CO2, carbon dioxide, is going up since the 80s. Then in the middle is nitrous oxide is also going up. And to the right side is methane gas. These are all driver of temperature rise. These are all climate gases. And they're being emitted through our activities, you know, power generation, driving cars, flying airplanes, having industries and all this. This is causing all these gases to increase in the atmosphere. And they're creating the greenhouse gas effect that slowly the planet heats up. And here you can see a graph, and which is actually going back quite a long time. And you can see that from the 1940s onwards, from the Second World War, the temperature trend was going up and it became warmer and warmer. And when I opened today the Times of India, you know, the newspaper, on the first page was 2024 was the hottest a year in India on record. 2024 is globally also the hottest year, but also in India is the hottest year on record. And I was last year in May, I was in New Delhi, and guess it had 52 degrees. You know, it was a heat wave. And I tell you, that was very serious, 52 degrees. In the night, you could not sleep without an air condition. And most of the people in Delhi, they don't have an air condition because it's very costly. So you can imagine, you know, India can actually not tolerate much more temperature rise, because in summer we're already at in a range which is very dangerous for us humans. So temperature is going on, and the trend is unbroken also. And here you can see a graph on the what is it? Oh yeah, this is the rainfall, and you can see that in the last years the rainfall has increased also dramatically. And you might have heard about this flash flooding and this heavy rainfalls. Did you experience some heavy rainfall in your areas where you live? Suddenly it starts raining. I think in Dubai also last year, no? It was like suddenly the desert was flooded, no? And even Dubai got flooded, and many shops got flooded, and they never had that before. Actually, in Dubai, they don't have drainage for the water because they don't have this kind of rains. And suddenly they had this heavy rain, and the water had nowhere to go. So this is also a trend is there, and the droughts is also increasing. And here you see a graph on one side how the sea ice is shrinking. On the left side, it's going down, the sea ice. And on the right side, the graph, you see how the water level, ocean water level is going up. So ice is shrinking, water becomes warmer, it is expanding, and there's more water in the ocean from the ice. And so the seawater level is rising. So if you have a luxury property near to the coast, I advise you to sell it and go a little bit land in. Because near to oceans will become uncomfortable. It's also becoming in future danger areas. Many properties in America and Florida, for example, they're losing their value already because water, every year the water comes more and more in and also contaminates the bore wells which are close to the ocean, because the ocean is rising, steadily rising, and it will become more and more. And here you see one last graph. This is about the tipping points in climate. So science a couple of years ago has identified what is actually sort of controlling our climate. And they've identified major systems. And you can see on top this orange, these are the jet streams. And the jet streams are the wind in the upper troposphere. There are about 8 or 10 major jet streams around the world. And these jet streams have changed. They've slowed down. And they start also to meander more. They may become more curvy. And because of that slowdown and more curvy, the weather is not changing. We get a heat wave and it stays for 6 weeks. Or we get a heavy rain and a low pressure system and it stays for 6 weeks. This is why we get this strange extreme weather all over the world. And you see the tipping points. The blue are the ice sheets all around the world. Ice is melting at a high speed. Very dangerous. North Pole and Antarctica, as well as the glacier, and also all the permafrost is thawing, which is also very bad because in the permafrost a lot of methane gas is being stored. So when the ice is thawing, methane gas is being released, and methane gas is one of the most powerful greenhouse gases also. And the red one are the circulation systems. This is the North Atlantic Circulation, the Indian Monsoon, and also El Nino. Here the Southern Oscillation it is called. No? And El Nino, El Niña is changing also right now. And in green we have the biosphere components. This is the Amazon rainforest. And these are also all the reefs and the big, big forest areas around the world. So in Canada and Siberia, the big wildfires. Last year, 2,000 wildfires in Canada. Amazon is, in the middle of the Amazon, is a huge drought. You have heard, maybe heard about it. It's a heat wave in the Amazon, and it stopped raining in the middle of the Amazon. And that's tropical rainforest. It needs rain. No? So, and the reefs are all also in danger because of the overheating of the oceans. So the world is in a very, very dramatic situation, and these are tipping points. And scientists say suddenly one of the system can tip. You know, it can flip into another direction. And all these tipping points are interconnected. They are, one system influences the other system. So our whole ecosphere is at the brink of collapse, you can say. And scientists are worried because out of 12 tipping points, already we crossed 4. you know, and the system is showing massive changes now, and this is all interconnected, affecting each other, and it seems that our climate is now changing on a large scale, and it will become very difficult, if not impossible, to stop it. So what are the effects of climate change, and what is in the future, what we can expect? So one is, you can see rising temperatures. This we all experience already. Heat waves are going up all over the world, but we also have more and worse storms. For example, 3 days ago in Europe was a very serious storm, 2 days ago, and people could not drive with the cars, you know, and they had to stop firework in some capitals because of such heavy, heavy winds and storms. We get also more cyclones and hurricanes in the tropics. And there's a very clear sign that the number and intensity of the storms is going up, and accordingly also the damage to houses and properties. No? And then we have more and worse forest fires. That is also quite obvious already since 5 years. Yeah, bushfire in Australia. Yeah, it's getting worse and worse every year. Bigger areas and bigger areas. So it becomes quite dramatic, actually. And so many people are affected already. California, big fires. Canada, big fires. But also Sweden, for example. In summer, they have less rain. And so there's danger of forest fire now in Sweden and Finland also. So we have more forest fires. And then, of course, the biosphere suffers. And more animals are being extinct. And that affects also the health of us humans. They say last year there were 30,000 people died extra in Europe in the summer because of heat wave. You know, old people, they're affected a lot. And if you don't have an air condition, you live in Spain or you live in Italy or you live south of the Alps, heat wave is there, you know, and you're old. Body can't take anymore, you die early. So there's a lot of effect also on human beings. And there are some countries in the Middle East, in summer, they have to stop working outside. Because it gets so hot in the summer, in daytime, the body cannot cool down anymore. So they had to stop construction work, and they work now in the night. Can you imagine? Because it became so hot in daytime. Then there are also more heat-related diseases and illnesses, you know, like malaria is now coming to Europe, it crosses the Alps. So many different diseases are now coming, and you might heard there's a new bird flu and this and that. And this. And it's all connected also to climate change, that the animals are migrating, also the bacteria are migrating and the viruses are migrating. So we have more and worse droughts. If you look, there's a heat index and there's a worldwide drought map from the UN, and the number of droughts globally is also increasing. And that has a big effect for the food production, global food production. And since 2 years, we have peaked with the global food production, and now the farmers have actually difficulties. It becomes very tricky to farm and to still get a good harvest. So they have to be very smart, the farmers, look at the weather and this and that and this and that. But sometimes you cannot imagine. And this is why the food security, the global food security of humanity is also threatened. It becomes a bit dangerous for all of us humans to produce enough food. And in future this will increase because temperature is still going up and the trend is still going up and unbroken. And then we have rising sea levels. And the last is economic losses. It is estimated that the losses every year are now $300 to $500 billion because of climate change. And the numbers are rising also. So big losses, big effects to all of us. And everybody, regardless where he's living, he's already experienced climate change. No? Also where in your native countries, I'm sure that you all wonder about the crazy weather which is happening sometimes. No? And many people get this idea that the end is near, you know? You know this guy, this is Homer Simpson from The Simpsons, and he has a bell, and it's a bit of a fun, but many scientists and many activists, they have the feeling it's too late, and that causes a lot of anxiety and worries also amongst people, and there's a new disease among psychologists, it's called climate anxiety. And we met a we met one sister. She's a psychologist in Oxford, and she told us that in her clinic she gets more and more students who are in Oxford at the university, and they don't know what they should do with the future, because they say, we study, we learn something, but for what? The world is going down to hell, so it's not looking good. So what's our future prospects? And they have anxiety and worries, you know, and depression. And how are you going to treat these youngsters, you know? What are you going to tell them? But we as yogis, and generally we have to stay quite optimistic, because optimistic mindset has a lot of benefits. You stay more happy. You get a better physical health. If you stay more happy, you have higher white blood cell count. And your whole immune system is much better if you just start smiling. Can you imagine? You just start smiling and already your body creates more white blood cells. If you look like this, then your white blood cell goes down. So just smile. Even if you don't feel happy, just smile, because the face muscles, they trigger somehow all this effect in your body. You have also developed a greater resilience, strength, if you are in a positive mindset, and you improve your relationships, which is very important in the future, but also the decisions which are coming in your mind are better. So you can function much better in times of crisis if you are optimistic and happy. Huh? So very, very important. So we go to the UN conferences since 20 years. So you can imagine our first main point is to stay happy and optimistic despite the news are quite dramatic, you know. And you're dealing with lots and lots of people which have fear, which have anxiety, which are depressed. And we're going regular since almost 20 years to the United Nations conferences. And it's not only the UN conferences, it's also biodiversity and against desertification. Actually, here you see an overview of all the climate conferences we are attending regular. There's the UNFCCC, but there's also UNEP, United Nations Environment Program, and there is the Ocean Conference, then there is water, then there is also on biodiversity, and there is a UN conference against desertification. So there are various UN conferences, and as per their importance, they're either every year or they're every 2 years. And the climate conference this time was in Baku, in Azerbaijan. And this was COP29, means Conference of Parties, UN Conference of Parties 29. So this was the 29th climate conference. Can you imagine? Since 29 years, since 30 years, humanity is meeting and they're trying to deal with climate change and negotiating and discussing, and they're not coming up with a solution. So can you imagine what a process this is? And Baku and Azerbaijan, who knows where is Baku and Azerbaijan? You don't really know where it is, yeah. Actually, I had to look it up on the map. So the northern border is with Russia, and the southern border is with Iran. Both countries at war right now, you know, like, so we were looking like, ooh, where are we going? But when we reached there, it was very safe, very proper place, very well organized. And it was, interestingly, an old place of trade. And in Baku, there is the old part of the town. There was an old Indian temple and there was an old Indian community, and they were trading carpets with Multan in Pakistan, means with India in the old days. And there was an old community of Indian traders. And this was part of the Silk Road, you know, trading goods from India through that route to Turkey. And Baku has a very old history. There was we went out a little bit and we found some old rocks, and there were some cave drawings of people who were living there very, very long ago. I mean, they said 10,000 years ago, but not so many years ago. And there was inscription of a Roman legion. So the Romans were there, the caveman was there, and then the Turkish came there and this became part of the Caliphate. And 1840, they found the first time oil in Baku and Azerbaijan. and Western companies set up the first commercial oil businesses in the world in Baku in Azerbaijan. So the first oil wells and the first oil fields that were there. And this country is having 10 million people, is very rich. And all the Arabs from the Gulf countries, in summer when it's too hot, they fly from the Gulf to Azerbaijan, where it's much cooler, and it is located at the Caspian Sea. It's almost like an ocean. So it's a very interesting city, and you have old part and you have skyscrapers and very, very latest infrastructure, you can say. Yeah, and our green team was there in full strength. We were super lucky. We rented a house last year when we were in Dubai at the climate conference, 3 days, 2 days before they announced officially Azerbaijan and Baku, we hired this villa. And we paid for 3 weeks, $4,000. And 15 people could stay there, like swimming pool, sauna. And this was the former residence of the German ambassador. So this time Baba gave touching. We hired it before through Airbnb. We got the contract. The guy honored the contract and said, okay, I keep you. Because after Baku was announced, all prices doubled. So we got at a very reasonable price. And we all said this is our good karma. You know, because we had many funny accommodations over the years. And so we could take sauna, we could do swimming pool, you know. It was like very nice. So you see here our team. And we had two main spiritual resource person. One time Sister Genti was 1 week there. And also Sister Maureen. So first week was Maureen, second week was Sister Genti. And we are about 12 people, 14 people, plus three people from St. Petersburg, they helped in cooking, plus two sisters from Baku. There's a small center in Baku, about 20 PKs, and they're incognito. You know, it's an incognito center. And they helped, so we had full kitchen and Russian food, you know. And so we had a very, very good time, and our accommodation was fantastic. And we set up inside our villa, we set up a studio and called Climate Wisdom from COP29. And we had almost every evening 2 interviews with activists, scientists. One guy was a Nobel laureate, with youngsters, YouTube, famous YouTube people, you name it, everybody came to our studio and we interviewed these people. And here you can see that we had a full studio set up with 4 cameras, video mixer, and we live streamed into YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. And we have 22 sessions and we have so far 800,000 viewers. For these interviews, 800,000 viewers. This is really record. Last year in Dubai, we had 50,000. And we thought, wow, we have 50,000 viewers. Now we have 800,000 viewers. Like, huh? And we cannot understand. But we made much better advertisement this time. So, well, we interviewed some scientists. One was a Nobel laureate who was part of the science team who established all the facts about climate change. And we asked him, so I was interviewing, I was the moderator, and Sister Sonia. And then we had always Maureen and one scientist. So we had always 2 people which we interviewed, either Genti Maureen and one more person, either activist, scientist, or so on. So it was a bit spirituality, a bit science mix. Very interesting. You can actually look it up. It's all on YouTube. You go echobrahmakumaris.org, and there's a big button, Live Studio, and you will find all the things live. We have also a YouTube channel. We asked the Nobel guy if we have a chance to fix climate change, and he said, we have this much time left over. He said, this much time. But he says, it's not likely. Because we would have to take drastic action within the next years. You know, like stop flying, stop cars, stop this, stop that, and bring our emissions, our gas emissions, drastically down. He said that's very difficult now because it would cause so much upheaval economic. Because our whole economy is based on fossil fuels. Very difficult to change. But he says we have a very small window, but not likely, and then it consequences you've seen will be very dramatic. They're actually happening already. So we had a very successful studio there. Actually, this was our pool room. We had a pool there, so we removed the pool table and put the studio there. And we had professional lights and mixers and videos and big screens. It was like a full-fledged professional studio. And we brought it all in our suitcases. It was very funny. It was very interesting. And it worked out very nicely. We were somehow very lucky. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. We booked extra luggage. And one brother from here came, Brother Burhan from studio in downstairs in Shantivan. He came and he became our network wizard. Yeah, here you see now there's the entrance of the climate conference with 60,000 delegates, and they used the Olympic Stadium and made some tents and this and that and beautiful decoration. And so we got registered. You have to register, you get a badge, and whenever you enter, you have to go through full security like you're boarding a plane. You know, they x-ray you, you have to go through, they look all the luggage and everything. The reason is inside is high security zone. Inside is prime ministers, environmental ministers, presidents, you name it, they're all running around inside in the climate conference, and you can meet these people. They're all going from speeches, programs, and there are hundreds of talks per day, hundreds of programs per day. And here, for example, we have been very active at the Faith Pavilion. And there is a faith pavilion where all the religions of Buddhist, Islam, Christians, and also the Hindu congregation, we all came together and we had programs there. And Brahma Kumaris was very active. We did regular meditation in the morning and in the evening inside the climate conference. And we had many, many, many programs. And there's Sister Valerian. She's now living in France. She's our liaison person for the interfaith. She's also 40 years in Gyan, and she's doing since 25 years that interfaith liaison. And Brahma Kumaris is from the beginning there, and everybody respects us as a very solid organization, which is every year at the conference, and you know, and who are walking, they're talking. Means if we talk about peace, we're very peaceful people. So that was very good. And here you see Maureen. She got also a prize at the Interfaith Pavilion. And we do also a lot of programs with youth. We have our Shantanu and our Birubai and one more sister, I forgot her name, from London. We have a lot of programs with youth. And there's also Aneta from Poland. She's also part of our team. She's part of the social media group. So we have a social media group which is posting, doing Instagram, Twitter, and all this time. We have a youth group, we have interfaith group, and we promote all our good ideas, what we are doing practically. Here you can see our stand. We had a stand for a week, and this is very prestigious. Imagine if the government makes a stand, maybe the size of this stage, they pay $150,000 rent for 2 weeks. So it's almost $80,000 for the first week. You hire a stand, half the size of the stage. That's the cost. And we got this free. They have a little bit area where you can for free exhibition for NGOs. So we had our stand. We decorated it very nicely. And we had lots and lots and lots of activities going on. And lots of visitors coming. And we gave them our badges. We gave them we had wristbands, you know, with our slogans. And here you can see some of the volunteers, which are from the schools and universities, which are helping at the conference. So we served them. There were maybe 2,000 volunteers at the conference. So we gave them lots of gifts and wristbands and blessing cards, and they liked it, you know. So a lot of service you can do through the stand. People are coming. We also do programs there. We had about more than 50 programs and events inside the climate conference. Imagine there's a blue zone where it's all the government and the big organizations. And the blue zone, there may be 300 stalls. And every stand or stall makes a program. They have chairs, they have a slide projector, and you get headphones, and they make programs every day. So there are 200, 300 programs per day for 2 weeks. So you can imagine. And there's the big plenary hall where 2,000 people can meet where the prime ministers talk and all these big shots are talking. I actually forgot to put a picture. And here you can see our press conference. We did four press conferences our own, but we participated also in other press conferences from other organizations. So there are four big rooms like this size where you do press conference, and all the time press conference, everybody can book a press conference, and then you invite other people and you give your press statement, and this is live streamed also into the internet and is still available on YouTube, all the press conferences. So everybody gives the statements, and sometimes before you is the German government or the US government, and they're like foreign ministers and environmental ministers, and they all give their statements there. So it's quite interesting. And we promote our Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, and we have 10 ways to change. Walk the talk, eat well, follow your heart, follow your dreams, empower yourself. These are our 10 ways to change. And we try to inspire people to become change makers, peace builders, bridge builders, change makers. We try to inspire people to inner change. We also, this is our brochure, and you get this brochure also, you can download it online, where we explain a little bit what we're doing. We promote also our activities of Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, and we have a plastic-free campaign. We have a tree plantation campaign, Kalptaru. We planted more than 2.5 million trees already. And you plant a tree, take a photo, and upload the tree in an app. So it's app-based. And then you have to water the tree and visit it time to time. So the tree is growing, you know. We have also a travel compensation. When you travel, you can put 1% of the travel cost into a special account. And we use it for some tree plantation or green project. And we have also guidelines to the centers. And yesterday, Sister Genti has sent an email to all centers and to in the rosary. And yesterday, our official guideline for centers has been published. And Sister Genti has sent it on the rosary. So you might also see it there. And we also have in the Environment Initiative regular newsletters. And if you want to come on the mailing list, we have now 1,000 people in Brahma Kumaris are on the mailing list of the Green Initiative. You can write in, you go on our webpage, echobrahmakumaris.org, and there's an email, contact us, and you can ask to join the mailing list. You will get, I think every 2 months you will get an update what is going on. And there are many programs and projects going on. Yeah, this is our tree plantation program, Kalptaru, and it's a very nice project. And many, many trees have been planted already, and we promote this at the climate conference. We have also another platform called Yogis for Future, and we have collected all the meditation commentaries of Brahma Kumaris, the good ones, about 200. We put them online and put that in a nice format. You can also use it as an app in your mobile, and then you click in the morning, meditation for peace, evening meditation for good relation, meditation against anxiety, meditation to become an angel. So 10 different topics, and you can select a meditation with nice music from Brother David and nice photos. It's a very peaceful thing, and we give this for outsiders at the climate conference to learn meditation and to bring inner change. It's a bit neutral, called Yogis for Future. Huh? And we had also a fabulous reception. More than 150 people came. We hired a hall. And down here you can see our fabulous kitchen team from Moscow. And here also our sister from Baku and Alex. And I tell you, the Russian kitchen is something for itself. You know, it's quite solid. You know, it's a solid kitchen. So it was very interesting. We had a very good reception also, and people had very nice experiences, you know, meeting the Brahmins, meeting our seniors, and coming out of the stress of the conference. They had no good accommodation, they had no good food, They had to travel every day for 1 or 2 hours to come to the conference. And inside the conference, a lot of noise, a lot of stress. Imagine 60,000 people running around everywhere, exhibition, everywhere programs. It's all like, and everywhere film crews, everywhere cameras, everybody's interviewing everybody. And everything is going online at the same time, you know. It was like an unbelievable, there were 3,000-4,000 people from the media only. 100 head of states. So imagine, it's the biggest, it's the world's largest conference. It's massive. Everything is massive. Transport is massive. The whole city, they had special buses only for the climate conference. And you get a pass and you can use all public transport free of cost. So they make a lot of arrangements for the delegates, you know, for commuting, for accommodation, for food, for this, for that, you know, so many things. We also promote vegetarian or vegan diet, you know, because part of the problem of climate change is due to meat production, you know. And so we promote also vegetarian diet. Yeah, now a bit about the outcome. Here you see one of the protests inside the climate conference, and people were very, very upset, because at this climate conference, one of the main topics was finances, you know, and the scientists have calculated that the third world needs every year $1,000 billion. That is $1 trillion. Okay, $1,000 billion every year the third world needs in order to compensate for the damage of climate change and finance the transition to clean energy, means using solar energy instead of fossil fuel. Now, the West, the rich countries, which are responsible for climate change, you know, this is the America, Europe, Australia, Canada, Japan, they are responsible for climate change because they have industrialized and created all the climate gases in the 70s and 50s and 60s and 80s. And they are rich now. They offered $250 billion. There was a big outcry. Everybody said this is foul play. And at the end, they settled on $300 billion per year, which supposed to be transferred from the rich and wealthy countries to Africa, to the third world, to the developing nations for the damage of climate change and to compensate. But the third world, and this is not as grant, often it is as loans. And the third world is already bankrupt. So most of the delegates have been totally frustrated. Most of the experts, they say this was a very, very big failure. And for the first time, openly, the rich Western countries, they said, no, we're not going to pay for the mess which we have created. And it came up in this conference openly, you know. Normally it's all a bit diplomatic, it's UN, they're all very diplomatic, you know. But this time it came out openly. And so, a lot of anger, a lot of protest, a lot of frustration, and many, many people worry about the future. And basically, there's not so much chances you have. You see, we have this heat wave, the climate change, and then on top, we have global extinction. We have the end of the world. And people become aware, and now they become aware that the West is not fixing it, the rich countries. They don't pay. They don't have money themselves. You know, in Europe, all the budgets are very tight. We are doing two big wars right now in the Middle East and Ukraine. This costs $200-300 billion per year at the moment, these wars. They cause a havoc with the environment and pollution. So there's no money in the budgets. And the West says, okay, let climate change happen, you know. And it's very interesting. And so global extinction, the end of humanity, is on top of it. So you have two options. One, you see it, and then there's a lot of frustration and a lot of fear. Or the guy says, if I close my eyes, maybe it will just go away. So other people, they ignore it. They say, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to read any news. So you have two type of people. And you have the third type of people. This is us Brahmins, which know that this is happening. And we know this is part of the transition. This is part of the change. And we are... building our inner strength, our inner resilience, and become loving and detached, you know. We don't become angry. We don't become frustrated. Are you a bit worried about future and destruction? Anybody's worried a bit? No? No? Sure? Serious topic. So, now I come to the next one. What is Brahma Kumaris doing? Last week, with Sudeshtidi, we inaugurated here in Gyan Sarovar, this is on top of the kitchen, our new solar cooking system. There was an old one which we have demolished because it was 25 years. Now we put a new one which is 200 kilowatt of photovoltaic. And below you can see inverter and batteries. And we send the electricity to our kitchen where we have induction cooking pots. But not small ones like you at home. We have 300 liter vessels. So we cook with the power of sun. And that system got inaugurated last week with Sudeshtidi. It's very successful. Here in Gyan Sarovar, we have a lot of photovoltaic backside here of the hall. If you go up behind of Harmony House, it's all full of photovoltaic. And we already have now 500 systems in India with 3 megawatt capacity. Many, many centers have gone green in India. And here in Gyan Sarovar, we have 400 kilowatt right now, but we are adding now 200 kilowatt more, and we are planning to take over Gyan Sarovar entirely from solar. So this sound system already runs on solar. We already, this and the projector runs on solar, and street light already we produce 50% of the power from sun, but we are planning now to produce 100% by sun. This is the next project, so send some good wishes that we get sanctioned, you know, sanctioned, because I have to get sanctioned from Yagya. We need paisa, you know. And so a lot of projects are going on. Then in Shantivan, we started solar 25 years ago, and we are a recognized research center, and we do research in many areas of solar technology. We got a lot of government funding, a lot of help from the government, from German government, Indian government, Australian government. This is India One, the solar plant in Shantivan. Who has seen it? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you have seen it. Very good. This plant is running very nicely. And we got collaboration. There's a 10 million euro project, $10 million project. Got 7 million from the government's funds. Biggest contribution ever we got from government, the Yagya. And we build these big dishes and produce steam, send it to the turbine, and the system is running very nicely. And we added also solar plates here, 1 megawatt, and we added another megawatt now, and we're sending the power now to Shantivan campus. And the project runs very nicely. It's really a highlight. So many people are coming and visiting these projects. Recently, we also built a biogas plant. This is also got inaugurated 4 months ago. So, you know, in India, we have the waste problem. Lot of waste problem. Actually, too much of waste. And they all mix it and throw it, and it becomes very difficult. So now we start in India segregation in Shantivan. We have the organic waste. We have the paper. We have plastic, we have glass, we have metal. We all made separate. Then the organic waste comes here and goes into the digester, which is the big balloon. And there it ferments. And then we get biogas, methane gas. We run a generator for 8 hours, 50 kilowatt generator for 8 hours. We have fermented sludge, which we use as fertilizer. And we sell the paper, the glass, and the metal. We sell and the plastic, we sell it, and we make money out of our waste, you know. And this started in Shantivan, and now we will try also to connect Gyan Sarovar and also Pandavavan to that system, you know. And this is the future. This is an example project. Very few are doing this. Very, very few organizations are doing this. So we are very busy with solar projects and activities. There's much, much more going on, but time is short, so I can't tell you anything. And this project we also promote and propagate at the UN climate conferences. So Brahma Kumaris is, everybody says, oh, Brahma Kumaris is a good organization because they have all this solar, they're doing all these projects, because most of the other organizations don't do that kind of activities. So we have tree plantation, we have yogic farming, which you might have heard. And so all these kind of things are there. And so we have a very good reputation now. People say that Brahma Kumaris, whatever they preach, they're doing it practically. So it gives a good reputation to us. And so now you've seen we have all these technologies, funds are available, and it's the need of the time. So what stops us? What stops us? We lost connection to our inner goodness and to ethics and values. We got disconnected, no? From divinity, you can say. So we have to heal our heart. And when we heal our heart, our feelings and emotions, our inner world, then we can heal the world. So that's also our motto at the climate conference. We say, change yourself and then change the world. And slowly, interestingly, people are listening to us and listening to what we are saying. And I would like to share with you about Daddy Janki. Our good daddy, big source of inspiration. And many of you might have met her. Majority might have met her, I guess, no? Daddy Janki. And she all explained, become strong, become powerful. And she one time explained to me about karma. She said, even if you want to change and do the good, it's not happening immediately. Because she said there are three signs of karma. The first sign is you want to do something, it's not happening. The second is suddenly something happens to you. And the third is you are suffering from interaction with relatives or friends. Do you experience any of these? You want to become a famous singer? I want to become a famous opera singer when I was young. But I was singing, and then my mom came and says, stop it. So my career as opera singer got cut short at young age. It was dramatic. Or you want to become rich or famous? It's not happening. You know you have everything, what is required, but nobody's listening to you. Or you have an accident, suddenly you get sick. Huh? Or you're suffering from interaction with relatives or friends. If one of these three things happen, you have karma on your shoulders. And the big question is how you carry your karma with you. And science has come up with a lot of interesting information about that. In the last 20 years, they came up with all this Clarion photography, ultra-weak electromagnetic fields and so on. And nowadays they can actually photograph your aura and your energy field. And you can see that everybody carries a field around us. We all have a field. It's our angelic body. And now they can actually record it. And some have a strong one, some is shining, some is weak. Sometimes you have a dent in your aura, and then the organ corresponding to that part of the energy field is become sick. So all this they can record. And the aura can also have different colors. And they represent also different states of mind. Peace, love, anger, lust, enlightenment, you know, different colors for different state of minds. And when you die, you take the aura and the energy field with you. And that's how the karma is going through. And interestingly, the karma is in our energy field. And the field is communicating all the time with the world. That's why climate change, wars, environmental degradation is a result, is a mirror of our inner state. Because we are connected all the time with what happens in the world. And Daddy gave a very nice advice how to settle the karma. Regular meditation. Yoga, you connect to the light, to Baba, allow Baba's light to come to you, and Baba heals, Baba's energy heals your aura, your energy field. And slowly you chase the negative frequency, the low vibrations out of your energy system. So be a helper to God, be loving and compassionate, healer for the world, and guide to the light. This was Daddy's advice to settle karma. Have powerful meditation. That's why I'm going every evening to History Hall, because that's one of the, it's for me the most powerful place. Still, it is very powerful. So what does this all tell us? It tells us everything connects to everything else. And there's very interesting science also in quantum physics, which tells us my thoughts, my emotion, they radiate out, and I shape the world around me all the time. So I'm actually a creator. I'm all the time creating the world, my life. I'm even responsible for my bank account, if it is full or empty. And that's connected to my karma, to my actions of the past, and it's recorded in my aura. That's why I can think I want to change, but it's not happening because my energy field doesn't allow me. So you have to deal with your energy field, with your aura, and you have to settle your karma in your energy field, and only then you will have breakthrough. And that's the advantage of the seniors. They have settled most of the stuff. That's why we adore them, and that's why they run the show, and that's why we look towards them for inspiration and help, because they have settled most of the gross stuff in their energy field, and they are shining on a subtle level. So what we have to do, we have to let go. We have to let go pain, fear, hate, anger, and regret. These are the bad things which we keep all the time with us, and they stop us actually, they keep us actually low. So what we have to do is, we have to change our thought process. And this is not so easy because our thoughts are running and racing in our brain. So we have to establish a bit of a discipline. If bad thoughts come, you say, I don't want that thought. It's not helpful. You have to analyze your thoughts. That's actually what Brahma Baba was doing. He was looking into his thoughts, and when bad thoughts, weak thoughts coming, you say, that's not helpful now. You know, that doesn't really, if anybody doesn't give you respect and you start getting angry because it's your trigger point, you say, hang on, it doesn't help me even a bit now if I get angry or I get upset. You know, you just chase it away. So first of all, you have to think positive about yourself. And that the best time to think positive about self is, when is the best time? Amrit Vela, morning time. You think, I'm very good, I'm a hero, I'm a super duper, super angel, and I will save the world, and I will be fantastic, and I will be Baba's right hand, and all these wonderful ideas and concepts which you hear every day, you repeat it. Even if nothing happens, but the thought itself creates an energy field. And if you keep that thought longer for 10 seconds, it has an impact. So that's the art, you know. Actually, the thoughts have an impact if you repeat them and keep them for some time in your system. Then they start changing, and then slowly you become the embodiment of that thought. Then once you master, you start thinking positive on others. Even if the BK is coming in front of you, who's always talking the last 20 years, only nuisance, and never gives you any respect, and doesn't see your quality. Even if that guy shows up, you see him and you say, very good, you're such a good soul, you're my real friend. And you have to give blessings to him, which is the most difficult. I tell you, out of 40 years of experience in Brahma Kumaris, Ishwa Vishwa Vidalaya, it's not so easy to think positive on others, especially if you work in projects together with them. And once you master that, that you give blessings to all the others, you start thinking positive on the world. And then you become an angel and give blessings to the world. And then it gets very interesting. Because then, as we understand, we are connected to the world, then we give blessings to the world. That's what Baba calls Mansa Seva, service to the mind, which is the highest, and which is the service at the end, and which is the secret of creation built in. Service to your mind is your tool to create a new world. And our mind is actually very powerful and very magic. And all the time, as we can see, we're creating an energy field, and all the time we're connected. We're all the time connected to all others and to the rest of the world. It's all vibration here. And we create a field, positive, loving, beautiful colors, or very negative, very angry, very dark colors, red, like that, you know. So a lot of energy is around us. That's why Baba tells us, be careful with the food. And be careful with the company. And be careful with the place where you go, because this all vibrational affects us. I want to show you a project where we work practically with vibration. You know that? Sustainable yogic farming? Yogic farming, you know? Okay. We have a farm in Shantivan, in Tapovan. But right now we are identifying 80 farms in India where we apply yogic farming. And the idea is that you give blessings to the carrots, for example. And you tell to the carrot in the morning, carrot, you will grow very good. Carrot, no bug will come and eat you. Carrot, you will be very, very, very tasty and yummy. And you will grow also with less water. You tell this to the carrot. And the carrot will say, Hanji, master, because soul is the master of matter. And carrot will say, okay, I will follow what you ever say. I will grow with less water, I will be very tasty, and everything will be all right. And here you see the carrot's chemical, you know, means the normal one, then the one yogic farming, and the organic. The yogis are the biggest, the most tasty, and now it gets very interesting. They have the highest nutritional value. We got the carrots analyzed in the laboratory. They have the highest vitamins and so on and so on. Isn't that interesting? Pardon? No, but you can go on the webpage of yogic farming. And there you will find all. You have to Google yogic farming. They have a webpage. Ah, here is the webpage. See? You go on this webpage, yogiketi.org. It's in English and Hindi, and you will find all reports and everything is there. So here you see the yogic farming with wheat. And you see without meditation and with meditation. You see the difference? With meditation and without meditation. It's much, much thicker, much more, no? In meditation. So Indian government is interested. And now they want to do yogic farming with Brahma Kumaris for the farmers in India. Yes? Pardon? Yes, yes. You go to the webpage. And we worked with the Agriculture University in Gujarat for 5-6 years. And they accompanied the project, and we had fields which we divided into yogic farming field and non-yogic farming field. We planted the same seeds, everything same amount of water, same sun, everything same. And then we recorded the results. Was done quite systematically, and the reports were published in an agriculture magazine. So you can download all the reports, everything, all the numbers and the figures, and you can go also to Shantivan.
पांडव शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है,
धाम में तुम्हें
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है,
धाम में तुम्हें जाना
है। सो गुड थॉट्स एंड वाइब्रेशन for the plants have an incredible effect. And this, at the end of the day, what I wanted to say, you can go down to Tapovan, and there where's our Baba's farm, you will find all the experts for the yogic farming, and they can explain you on the research and what has been found and all this, what happened. You want to sit there? You have a question here. So ask the question.
Wonderful, thank you so much. So, you know, in the beginning of 25 minutes, I aggressively heard, I really attentively heard, which I've never done that, with your this thing. So, you know, the message that I got when I was listening to the temperature rising and all that, so that was a little bit scary for me. So, and I got a call. So I went to attend that call. So the message that I picked up from here was a little bit of fear. And when I went and told that I'm in a classroom, so they said to me that, what is life about? Is it about pleasure? So I said, yeah, life is all about to live life. That's what Baba says, that I have a life of pleasure. Mojong ka jeevan. So I picked up that. So love was one message, and here there was a message of fear. So my question to you is that, you know, how do I reconcile this aspect in case I am very afraid of God and the environment around? How do I reconcile this particular thing to be happy, to be holy, and not to do things out of fear, but to do things out of love?
It's a very interesting question. Thank you very much. Maybe you were just out for your phone call when I explained about Dadi Janki and how to become loving and compassionate and become an angel and all that. I will come to that point to be positive and have a positive mindset. I shared this information initially in order to give you a clear overview what is happening right now in the world. And I mean, there are two type of people. One close the eyes and ignore it and say, I don't want to talk, I don't want to listen, because it makes me feel uncomfortable. And that's what most of the people do. And those people who are seeing what is happening, they have anxiety, they are worried, they have depression. And then there's a small group of people which have got consciousness or connected to divinity or to religion. They say that is part of a bigger picture. It's going to it has to happen. It's part of transformation. And they're not worried and they have no fear. So you have these three type of people. So if you see the big picture and you see what is happening right now in the world is part of the big drama plan, this takes a lot of fear and anxiety out of your system already. Of course, one has personal attachments to the world, to the friends, and to nature, and to see things being destroyed which one loves is not an easy thing. You have to be very good yoga, and you have to make the lesson of being detached and loving very powerful, you know, and that's not coming overnight. You have to make spiritual efforts for that. Maybe in meditation you can meditate and have the topic, I become loving, and I become detached, and I become detached, and I become detached from my body, but also from the world and from nature, you know, because these things are all the time changing. And the soul is the part within us which is not changing, which is immortal. So you have to establish soul consciousness. When you come close to that soul consciousness, you understand that whatever happens here in this world is irrelevant. It's like a flow, like a river. It's things changing. This happened, that happened. You get a body, you get another body. You're a traveler through time. When you have this elevated consciousness, fear, anxiety, depression doesn't exist. But that's the highest, the supreme yoga stage. We're all on a journey. We're all number-wise to reach there. You know? And that's why seniors are so helpful, because most of them have mastered that and they're already in this higher elevated consciousness and they see the drama. You know? You see the drama, what's going on and what's happening. They become loving and detached observer. They say, okay. So, what the yogic farming tells us, that our thoughts create reality. So what does it mean? We are all the time creators. And this is a very powerful message, because many people think, oh, what can I do? What can I do? I'm just this little person, and there's this big world, and this big climate change, and this destruction is happening. The animals disappear. The climate gets out of control. War everywhere. Economic crisis. Wherever I look, there's disaster. So what can I do? But actually, we're change makers and we're creators. And we have the energy field around us, and the energy field communicates with all the other energy fields. And it communicates with nature also. So all the time we're connected. If you meditate and you go in the higher stage and subtle realm, you feel the vibration. And the vibration reaches out, and you in within the field of vibration, you touch other vibrations, other entities. And there's God, the highest vibration. So you allow this wonderful, beautiful vibration to come to you and heal your own vibration. Take that powerful vibration and then share it. Become a lighthouse. And help God in the task of purification of Tamo Pratan nature. And this is the process where we actually create the new world, and we have to imagine this world in our mind. And today was a very interesting book message in Pandav Bhavan. And Shashiben went in trance and she came back. Baba said, now the time is coming where more and more you will get visions of the future. And visions when you are sitting with the deities in paradise. How will be the court in Satyuga? How will be your deity body? How will your relation? Who is Lakshmi and Narayan? And you will start seeing these things in your vision, in your third eye. And they will make you very happy. And you will be more and more attached to Satyuga, and less attached. You will be detached from this old dying world. And this process will start now. This was the message today, the book message in Pandapan. Very, very interesting. So we have to imagine in our mind the beautiful world. You know, and there was a beautiful song by the Beatles, by John Lennon. Imagine all the people. I mean, 50 years old song, but very famous, number one hit. And so he's saying, imagine your perfect world. Imagine you have beautiful relations with everybody. And what is the most important emotion? The most important feeling starts with L, love. So here we are. Our world is a world of love. Love means you love yourself. No, nothing stops you. And when love is there, there comes harmony, beauty and peace. Everything becomes very beautiful. You love everything. You are at peace with yourself. Everything is settled. And then comes perfection, purity, bliss, prosperity, happiness. It's timeless and it's justice. A lot of people are suffering right now because the world is so unjust. At the climate conference also, the third world is crying. They say, we are not responsible for climate change. It's not our rubbish in the atmosphere. But we are suffering most. You know, where is the justice in that? You know, there is no justice in that. It's unjust. It's karma, which is coming up and which is being settled right now. all the impure vibrations which are everywhere, they're all coming up now, they all become visible, and everything has to be transformed. And who are the people who's supposed to do the job? The transformation? Huh? Me, I, you. We all should do this transformation. So it's quite a fantastic job, actually. When I was a young boy, very, very small, I thought, I will do something fantastic for the world, something gigantic, really fantastic. I will become a superhero. I mean, I was a small boy. Then I became older, and reality of life sort of came over me. I had to go to school, and then, you know, do this, do that. And all my very high-fly ideas got cut down and cut down and cut down. And after high school, I learned carpentry. And then I said, okay, at least I should become a good carpenter. You know, from becoming a world hero and helper down to become a good carpenter. That much I reduced my vision on myself because of the life, you know, because of things going on. You grow up in a Tamopratan society, no? And then you come in contact with Baba, and Baba says, hello, you become a world hero. You can become an angel, you know, and you can help me in creating a new world. I mean, this is the biggest Hollywood, Bollywood action drama you can ever imagine playing part in that. And Baba said, you are hero actors, you are the main actors. Can you imagine? Actually, we should be super enthusiastic the whole throughout the day, but we are forgetting, you know, and we are getting caught up in our day-to-day things, you know. You're leaving soon, going back to your home place. Don't forget to pick up some tollies and buy some, go to Baba room before, and then Baba's rock tonight, very important. And then you go to David, take some printouts, and you don't forget this. And then when you go back, you have already a list of things you have to do. Who has a list of things at home, what he has to do? Everybody, see, all hands are going up. Everybody has a list. You know, and what you do when you create that thought, you create an energy field, what you have to do in a couple of days, and you create it. And that's how time is ticking. Because we still plan the future. You know, I have to go back then, kitchen, shopping. Yeah? You have to do shopping. No? Fridge will be empty. No? You have to do, yeah, see, here we are. You have to do shopping, the fridge is empty. So you already think, okay, when I come back, I take the car, I go to the supermarket and I buy this. And there are some very good offers. I have to buy a little bit more, I should get some stocks. And the Baba picture I will put there. Then I have to go to the center, distribute the tollies. So we are planning our future. And by doing so, we create the future and we cement it. And that's why the transformation takes time. Because our thought process and our imagination is not there. You know, it's not in the paradise. So we're coming to the end of this talk, and I will do a meditation with you now, because it's also announced that it's journey to paradise. So let us travel to paradise. And can we have a bit of... you have no questions?
Huh?
No.
I have a question, but it's okay.
No, ask. If it's not such a lot... No. You have no question. Yeah, no, you just ask, I will repeat the question, leave it.
No, because Baba said that the
transformation is happening with three things.
Yeah, so Baba like said the transformation would happen with three things. It's like five elements of nature and civil war and then the nuclear atomic bomb, right?
Yeah.
So how these all three things will fall into place with, I'm just, you know, thinking, visualizing how it will happen.
I was just, I had the scary stuff in the beginning, you know, with the climate change. And then I said, be positive, have a positive mindset. And now you come up again with a scary question, you know, just before we travel to paradise. Baba has made predictions, you know, and it's quite interesting. Today I opened the newspaper. And And there was a pamphlet inside the newspaper, which they distributed. They have put it in all the newspapers. It was Times of India. So I opened it. There was a paper inside, you know. I took it. It's written, this old Kali Yuga will end, and there will be all prophets agree there will be devastation and famine and earthquakes, and the Kali Yuga will be smashed into pieces, and now you develop God consciousness, otherwise you will never see the light, and blah blah blah. The whole pamphlet was like this, and I thought, wow, this is like Kiyan, you know. And at the end I found out it's a guy who was and it's written now, in all the scripture it was described, it was like almost Gyan. So it was a guy who became an Indian guy who became Christian influenced, and then became a missionary, but then went back to Hinduism, and he believes that God, Krishna, has incarnated him. He's running, and he died in the 80s. He runs an ashram in South India, and it was like total Gyan in the newspaper. And I thought, that's quite bold, because it was a bit scary also. So Baba has also given prediction about the transformation. So as the karma has to be settled, and not all the souls are on the same page, it will be quite a dynamic transformation. And Baba said there will be different chapters and different elements in this transformational process. One will be nature, and nature will have showing its fearsome side, earthquakes, tidal waves, tsunamis, droughts, heat waves, and so on. And you can see it already, it's happening, you know. Luckily, so far we manage, we have air conditioned, or we live in places which still have a moderate climate, but it's happening already. Fires, droughts, tsunamis, you know, you open the newspaper, it's already there. Next will be wars. And you look in the world, you know, I mean, the tension is increasing. We have so many wars and proxy wars going on, two major wars already, and they are very dangerous, and they can flare up into the next world war. And there are some predictions which hint that 25, 26 can be very dramatic, you know. And so we can see that one side is nature, one side is humans' caused activity. We see the economy is in big problem. Everywhere now the budgets of the governments are in minus. Everywhere unemployment is going up. AI is coming up, you know, artificial intelligence is another big threat. And people say, The founder of AI just made I read an article from him. He says AI will create destruction of humans. It will wipe us out. We all lose jobs. It's already more intelligence than us. So why we need humans? We vote AI as the next prime minister. They actually said they should make God as AI, and he will help us. You know, that's what they do. AI will become a party. Politicians, it will take decisions. You are calling a call center. You don't know if it's a human or an AI. And the AI has passed also the Turing test. Turing test means if you talk to an AI, you will be not able to distinguish if it's AI or a human. AI is so good. You ask questions to AI, the voice is perfect, modulated, and the answers are perfect, and you don't know you're talking to a human or AI. So they put AI in medicine, AI in psychology, AI in call centers, AI in companies, more and more they will take over. AI in Brahma Kumaris. So AI is there, and there are so many threats. Viruses, bacteria, now the bird flu is mutating again, and all these kind of things. So there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline, and the transformation will be violent. It will be dynamic, and it will be catastrophic and fast. And you have to overcome fear of death, and you have to become soul conscious. You have to become God conscious, and you have to become conscious of the drama and the time. Then all fear will go. And you see, this is the flow of time. And this has to happen. In order to create a paradise, a worthwhile world, we have to settle all the stuff in the old world. And the old world has to be sort of, you know, when you plow a field, when you sow a new crop in the field, you actually plow the field, you know, to turn over everything and mix the soil and loosen it nicely up. So now the soil is being plowed and loosened up nicely. And that's what's happening in the world. And nothing to be feared about it. Nothing to be feared. Go to Baba, sit with Baba. The more you become an angel, the more the fear will vanish. The more you make the experience of being a soul bodiless, the more an angel bodiless, you know, the more about vibration, how everything is interconnected. Suddenly it makes click and you say, oh wow, I'm this energy, I'm this love, I'm this compassion, I'm a soul, I'm an immortal being of light. And this body is actually one small body there, which I had so many, many bodies, and I've gone on this world through space and time in a big circle. But that's not really me. It's just the world drama where I play a role. Once you have the experience and the consciousness, everything will change. All fear will flip into love and compassion and joy. And you know, and you will understand you came out of the prison and you're actually now liberated. And there is unlimited freedom, unlimited peace. That's the subtle realm. And Baba says to us, children, come, come, oh, oh, come up, come up. You know, Baba says he's calling us since 80 years, 90 years, I don't know. Since how long is the Yakya now? 37, yeah, almost 90 years now. Yeah, almost 90 years. No? Baba's calling. He must be very patient. And Brahma Baba, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, how patient Brahma Baba must be. I mean, he's now 50 years of Yakya or something. And he's there and he's seeing and watching the show of the children. It's very interesting. Huh? Okay, let's make a meditation before the music is there. So can we have a little bit red light? Thoda thoda lal light? Light? Okay, okay. No lal light? Oh, babre babre. Koi nahi hai. Aiya, okay. Because there's a very uncomfortable light, but okay. So let's relax a little bit and breathe deeply and remove all fear from the system and just become a point of light in the middle of a void and connect to Baba. Baba, I am your child. And now I heard so much about climate change and destruction, loss of animals. Everything is going to change. What I'm going to do? Baba says, child, come up. You are an angel. You have a body of light. I am a light. I am a soul. My body is down there, and I had many, 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 many bodies, many incarnations, and I had a long journey on this planet Earth. Now, planet Earth has become very old and also a bit shabby. It's time to create a new, wonderful universe. A new solar system, a new sun, a new moon, because this is all the decoration on my journey. I'm visualizing to hold the planet in my hands. I'm giving drishti to the earth, to the stars, to the air, to the water, to the earth. I'm filling all the elements with light. Everything is becoming light. very beautiful white light, very soothing. I'm visualizing a beautiful planet, blue sky, blue waters, beautiful lush green, forests and meadows, beautiful rivers, very peaceful, sweet animals, birds singing, and there's a beautiful palace. I am there at this palace. There's the court of Indra, Lakshmi Narayan, many deities. Everything is so wonderful, so beautiful. It's my future. The time, the life I was always looking towards is happening in front of me. I am a creator. I am the master of matter. I am the master of time. I give drishti to all other BKs. I give drishti to all the other souls in the world. I help them on their journey. I inspire them. But I am detached. I am free. I am the master of my life. I am an angel. Thank you, drama. Thank you, Baba. Thank you from my heart. Om